And I apologize. I mean Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 12 was last week. Matthew 13, verse 1. Do be in prayer for Brother Charlie. For those of you that didn't get the email, he did make it through the surgery just fine. They got him in recovery. They're going to keep him overnight and then let him go sometime tomorrow. So we're praising the Lord for that. Just praying that his recovery will be quick. Hear a lot of good things about those surgeries and how quick the healing is and all that good stuff. So praying that that's exactly what goes on there. He did say that him and I, last year, we started off strong. We started off walking 3 to 5 miles, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. And then we kind of fell out of it. For some reason, we kept it up all the way to February. But then once the weather turned nice, we quit. It was weird. So this time he says, well, we're going to go out. We'll do it again this year. And I said, wonderful. Now I'm a little concerned. With that all cleared up, he might be quicker than me now. And those long legs might just get the... All right, Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. A great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the multitude stood on the shore. And he said, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And if you'll forgive me, we're going to skip ahead just a little bit. We will cover the parables. But I want to cover first what Jesus says about his speaking and teaching on parables. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we dive into your word, we understand and see the purpose of your teachings. Lord, the plan of your teachings and who it belongs to. And Lord, your intentions behind it and how you apply it. And I pray, Father, that as we get your understanding of your word, we develop a better one ourselves. And Father, we hear you. And Lord, we learn. And then, Father, we are grateful for our ability to see and to hear the things in which you have taught us. Help us, Lord, to be grateful. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Continuing on in our reading, verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are full of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, and he goes on from there. I'll start with this joke. There was a man, he was losing his hearing, so he goes into his doctor, says, Doc, I can't hear. And the doctor says, no problem, they just came out with just the top of the line hearing aid. We've got one right here, and he sizes it up, he fits it, he tests them, he says, go use it for 2 weeks, and then come back and we'll adjust and we'll get things figured out just to see how it goes. Well, the 2 weeks pass, and the man comes back, and he says, Doc, you wouldn't believe it. I hear everything now with crystal clarity. I am catching every word, every sound. It's a miracle. And the doctor asks, is your family happy that you can hear again? And he says, I haven't told them. I just sit around and listen. And I've changed my will 3 times. Our vision and our hearing are two of our most important senses. And as their power begins to fade in life, it's easy to find ourselves frustrated by it. We can always try glasses, surgery, hearing aids, and other helps to try to offset the change. But what can be done about those who can see and can hear, but can't make any sense of what they're seeing and hearing? And that's what Jesus is talking about here. When asked the question, why do you speak to them in parables? That's his answer. Because they don't understand. It's given to you, you understand. I can speak plain to you, but to them I must speak in parables. They don't understand. And we see this all the time today, where people know a thing, and they try to explain a thing, and it's hard to get people to understand. Right? We'll look at something very modern. We'll look at the abortion debate. To me, it's not a religion thing. Right? To me, that is a human being thing. And there's nothing that anybody has ever been able to say. Right? They'll always come at me for my religion. Well, it's because you're religious, and how dare you be religious and vote in a way that would stop me from making choices. No, I think that's a person. And by our country's laws, the murder of a person, particularly of a child, is a heinous crime worthy of punishment. That's just what it says. Not to break any hearts of anybody who's gone through that or has suffered through that. I'm not trying to be mean, but it is what it is. And they say, well, no, it's about choice. No, it's a human being. Whatever choice we're talking about, we're making the choice to end the life of a human being. Oh, no, I see how you religious people, they can't get to that point. Why do you not see the heart? Why do you not see the heartbeat on the monitor? Why can't you hear it in that little echo thing? I love that little echo thing. That echo thing brings about some of the best news I hear in my life, I've ever heard in my life. And it brought it to me four times, just that, and then, I love that sound, man. I loved it. Every time I heard it, I loved it. But you don't hear that? Well, it's just a clump of cells. Here's a clump of cells. It's not going, don't. Here's a clump of cells. Pull it off. Will a person grow? Wouldn't that be terrible? There was just one more of you every time a chunk of hair fell out. That's not how that works. That is a person becoming. It is a person. There's a people in there. And you cannot treat them that way. But yet there's still this dissonance, this disagreement, this unwillingness to understand. And how many times have we tried to speak of the things of God or tried to give God praise in a moment and you see the cringes and you see the people pulling back and they don't want to hear. Why don't they want to hear? Because it's not a story they want. It's not something they're okay with. It's not for them. There was a time in your life, maybe somebody knocked on your door, maybe somebody pulled you aside, and they gave you the gospel, or they talked about God, and you didn't like it. Why? Because what fellowship hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath light with darkness? You, in that moment, were so caught up in you and your ideas and your traditions and your self-appointed values, you didn't have time for what God had to say. That's what the Lord is saying. It's been given to you, but it's not been given to them. They struggle to understand it. They struggle to get it. I've been here with you. I've taught you. I've explained it to you. But this is against their nature. Therefore, I must speak in parables. Not that he's trying to force feed it to them. Not that he's trying to treat them like they're simple. Incredibly intelligent people have the ability to look at things and not get it because of their own bias. Incredibly intelligent people. I mean, we make fun of politicians, and I'll make fun of politicians for as long as we've got them. Why? Because they're silly creatures, but they're also the top of their classes. They've also got more degrees than I could pronounce. They are intelligent people who believe incredibly foolish things. And I'll say that on both sides of the aisle, and if there's anybody in the middle, they can have it too. They're foolish people. They're no longer about, hey, what would fix the problems in our country? They're more along the lines of what will get me reelected and what will get me viral on YouTube next or tomorrow. What's going to get me in the news tomorrow for what I say to you? These people are no longer about solving problems. They're about putting on the political show. So yes, I firmly believe in hyper-intelligent people who can be downright fools. Because knowing something and knowing how to use that knowledge are two different things. That's knowledge and wisdom. And I'm sorry, but we're run by a bunch of fools. And that's what we see. There's biases. these false inclinations, these weird ideas. We were talking yesterday about the different things in the human body and how it works, and I'm sitting there going, how weird is it? You know, when we work on cars, we're doing stuff in cars. We put these things together. We make these things. And then we have mechanics who work on those things. But does anybody here ever question the existence of Henry Ford? How can a doctor work on a body and not be convinced that this was not a series of mishaps? I have a hard time believing that one could know the body as intimately as some of these doctors do and completely reject the idea that there is a God. Oh, well, you see, over many, many years of... How could that happen over many... How could any of that happen? It's silly. We have biases. Even among the religious people, the denominations. You know, you can sit down with a Presbyterian and argue till you got a headache, and they're not going to budge. And guess what? Neither will you. And until we start breaking out the Bible to have our discussions, we're going to get stuck. We're going to get pinned down. Well, I believe that because so-and-so believes it. Well, I believe this because so-and-so believes it. Well, you've never heard of the teachings of so-and-so. And they puff out their chests and they get proud of themselves. Oh, what we need to do is we need to lay aside the biases. And we need to look at the Word of God as it stands. And that's exactly what we've got going on out there. We have been biased. This world has become biased by the cartoons, by the education system, by anything in entertainment, by these thoughtful elites of the days, by what we would call Bible scholars of today, who sit there and don't have a personal relationship with God, but are willing to try to tell us what they think about the Bible. It's ridiculous. And you sit there and you listen to them talk for 10 whole minutes, and if you've read the Bible once, you're sitting there going, well, that's not what it says, that's not what it says, and that's not what it says. It's not about opinion. It backs itself up two or three times because God likes to repeat himself because he knows we got a problem paying attention. It's sad. So he tells them, I got to speak in parables. I speak in parables because the knowledge was given to you and not to them. They're going to have a hard time computing it. It's not about them right now. And aren't you glad for the day when it stopped not being for you and became for you? When all of a sudden you showed up and all that stuff that you learned up to the point you were saved, it clicks and you go, I understand now. And now you're sitting in the services and you're picking the stuff up. Why? Because it means something to you. It matters to you. When you're just there and you're lost, it's about making it to lunch. It's about making it out of here in time enough to catch the late show on the television, which, by the way, you shouldn't be watching. It's about anything other than taking the Word of God and applying it to your lives. So often when Jesus would get up and teach, it was because they were astonished by him, because it was a fad, because he was interesting, because he came with free food, free miracle food that would just pop out of the basket, you know? That's what they were. He'd heal people. They were there for the show. And we see that today. You know we do. They're there for the show. Man, they got the praise band come out. They just got the brand new pyrotechnic machine. And I tell you what, if more than 13 souls come forward for salvation, they shoot the confetti cannons and the kids go out there dancing and it's a good time. They're there for the show. But COVID comes down, they shut down. They don't want to go anymore. And then when everything opened back up, where were they? Oh, they were in the golf courses and the T-ball sets. And I talked to somebody, they were telling me, well, I have a hard time going back to church now since COVID happened. It just makes me nervous. But you're out at the flea market, the antique show, the farmer's market. You're out there doing those things. You're going to the movie theater. You're going out to eat. But church is just a walk too far. Oh, that's just too much. That's too closed in. But you'll go to a movie theater with a bunch of teenagers doing who knows what. Yeah, I'm just saying that there's that line. It's not about the show. It's about something going on between you and God. It's about a connection between you and the Father. What Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples is they don't understand. It wasn't given to them. It wasn't explained to them. And honestly, at that moment, it might not have necessarily been for them yet. consider this. I can't remember which one of the boys were doing this, but I walked in. They were doing money. This is a penny. This is a nickel. This is a dime. Now listen, at 5, 6, 7 years old, you might not necessarily need to know the penny, the nickel, the dime, the dollar, the $2 bill. Don't forget about the $2 bill. The $5 bill, the $10 bill. They might not need to know anything about that. Why? Because their Happy Meals are paid for. You know what I mean? They don't necessarily need that knowledge. Yeah, I think it's important to give it to them. It's important for them to hear it. But they don't need it yet. They're not paying taxes. They're not putting gas in mom and dad's car. It's just knowledge. It's not necessarily for them yet, but here it is. And so often we say, well, I invite people to church if it ain't going to get them saved? Hey, come, learn, listen. Who knows? Today might be the day, or at the very least, you might have something to put in your pocket for on the day the Lord does save you. And by the way, these things that God has taught us, they're universal. We ought to obey them anyway, whether we believe or not. There are good things in there. We've often said that the things that God has said is fit for all of society. I saw this quote today. There's a lot of people who don't like Christianity, but would hate living in a world without it. Could you imagine a world with none of the rules that Christianity came with? Could you imagine that? It'd be chaos, wouldn't it? It'd be terrible. And we wouldn't want to have anything to do with a place where might is right, and if you could steal it, it's yours. Where if you could cheat it out of somebody's hands, it's okay. If somebody offends you, it's okay to kill them. We wouldn't want that world. But those are rules and laws that God gave us. It's just funny how they nitpick. Well, we don't want to feel guilty about breaking the rules, but we sure do like having the rules so we don't get hurt. They didn't quite understand yet. They weren't going to, so the parables were there to kind of ease them into it, but it also provided a bit of a block there so that the people with understanding could pick it up. Okay, I understand what he's talking about. I get the point that he's making there. And honestly, as we see it, it was a bit of a heart problem. As we continue on in our reading, verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are full of hearing, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. The very description that the Lord used here is, number one, that their hearts have waxed gross. Doesn't that just sound wonderful? Now that word gross there means either to be made fat or to be made, forgive me, I'm having a hard time with my words there, to be made stupid or to be made fat or flat, to be made useless. To be made useless. Now listen, I'm not trying to be mean to the average person in this world. However, we have consumed enough television, enough internet, enough boring, dull, useless information that it has ruined the minds and hearts of a lot of people. You ask them questions, they have no understanding anymore. You ask them questions about how the government works, how taxes work, this about their car, this about their life, this about that. People have less understanding on life than they ever have. Why? Because we are filling our minds with useless things. It doesn't matter how big your brain is, it can only store so much before it starts throwing other stuff out. Think of this. Anybody here, when you went to high school, you had a locker? Now, you use that locker multiple times a day, yeah? Anybody here remember your combination? Some of you knew that was coming. You do not. Do you really? It's because you still use it? I'm going to call the school. No. Listen, we... Other than Brother Art, most of us don't. I do. I'm not making fun. I believe him. But outside of that, most of us don't know that number. Why? Why'd you forget? Because you had other stuff going on, right? You took that space and you put something else in there, and your brain's like, all right, we got to get rid of that. That's not doing me any good. I could probably even go back, find the record of that locker combination, bring it to you, and you'd be like, I don't know. And we struggle to remember these things. So if you're filling your mind with useless information and a metric ton of it, there's going to be a lot of very important things that your brain just can't handle. And it's not just that, but as we continue to pour through this vast amount of useless information, learning becomes more difficult. We've talked about this before. Sitting a kid in front of a 7-second, 10-second video is one of the worst things you can do. You shouldn't do that to an adult either, by the way, but it's one of the worst things you can do for their mind. Because if you have to say something longer than 10, 15 seconds, they're not going to have anything to do with you. Those things train our brains. It trains them. So my, oh my, we need to be careful with that. Right? We need to be careful with how much time we allow useless things to be in part of our minds or be in front of us. We got to be careful. People will sit there now early and earlier. They're showing signs of forgetfulness. They're showing signs of slowness. And we can't help but link it to the only one thing that's grown rapidly for a long period of time. And that is that there's vast amounts of useless internet knowledge. I took a bunch of kids at camp, a bunch of the senior boys, and I asked them, how many of you on the way down to camp today used your phone to watch social media? Everybody raised their hands. And I said, how many of you were on Facebook? And I read them through, and all the hands were up. They were doing all of them. And I asked him, I go, name me 5 things you saw or read today on that app. Would you believe that all 12 of those boys or how many were there? Jack, you were there. Nobody remembered. Nobody remembered. Now, they were on there for hours, some of them traveling for many hours. And they were scrolling for hours. And they don't remember anything on there. Now, doesn't that make you sit there and wonder what goes on with my brain that I can sit there for hours and remember none of it? I'm not talking about something superstitious. I'm not talking about some CIA fantasy story cover-up deal. I'm talking about numbing your brain to the point to where it's not on anymore. Right? We're not talking a conspiracy theory. We're talking about a thing your brain can't do in a healthy way. And we wonder about that. You know, hey, listen, these people, they surrounded themselves with superstitions, surrounded themselves with false gods, with things to numb themselves, things to distract themselves. They were people just like us. They didn't have anything to plug into an outlet, but they were just like us. They favored useless things. They loved the stories in the marketplace. They loved gossip just as much as anybody else. And they filled and polluted their minds with these things. So when the Son of God gets up and talks, it's static. Makes no sense. In your lost state, it's going to be hard enough to understand the things of God as it is. And when I say it wasn't necessarily for them yet, listen, the people who are not of God are going to have a hard time understanding what God has to say. Because their heart's not in it. They don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They're not going to have that connection to it that you and I have. Again, it's not something metaphysical or superstitious. The fact of the matter is, until you know somebody, you don't care enough. And without the Holy Spirit, sometimes it's hard to follow along stuff. Because we're always going to be sitting there going, well, I don't like that. Well, I don't think that. Well, I don't think that's true. Instead of us sitting there going, well, perhaps it is. Instead of us having been led by the Holy Spirit and us having this connection with God, we'll fill it with our own desires to not be told not to sin. That's what we'll do. So their heart had waxed gross. Most of it from the wives' tales, the superstitions, the false religions, and ultimately the desire to do whatever their heart wanted. And that's what it is. It's not about whether or not it makes a logical sense for there to be a God. It's about not wanting a God to tell them that they can't do what they want to do. They want to be able to form a national consensus of the society that this is okay so they can go ahead and do it. And what we don't, and what they never realize is where we're headed, where we're hurting children, and that's supposed to be okay. We're hurting each other, and that's supposed to be okay. They don't get it. They don't want a God to tell them that they could be wrong. They want to hear the things that make them feel good. Right? They want to go back to the Garden of Eden where we can be as gods, deciding what's right and wrong. Deciding what we're going to do and that it's okay. Let our hearts never be found the same. They're also accused here of being dull of hearing, having that difficulty. Again, not difficulty in hearing as in their ears have done some work for a few years and now they're wearing out. No. They don't want to listen. They got that child's selective hearing. Did you ever have selective hearing when you were a child? Did any of your children have selective hearing? I remember, I probably shouldn't tell the story, but I'm going anyway. My mom took my brother in because she was always concerned about his hearing. Turns out he could hear just fine when it was the ice cream truck, when it was the TV, when it was anything he wanted. That hearing worked fine. But if it was his teacher, mom, or dad, those ears didn't work. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Hey, listen, we too can sometimes be found guilty of having selective hearing. Oh, what's that, Pastor? Yes, I agree with that. I hear that. I believe that. Oh, what's that the Bible says? I don't know if I believe that. No, we need to believe the whole counsel of God. We need to believe all of the Word. And that's what happens. You go to talk to people and they'll put on a religious air. Yes, yes, I know, I know. Hey, do you go to church anywhere? Oh, yes, I go to church. Where do you go to church? Oh, I can't quite remember the name of it right now. Where I go down to church down there, First Self-Righteous Church of the Refrigerator. Okay, well, who's the pastor over there? You know what? It's been a while. I can't quite remember. What do they look like? I don't really know. That's rough, isn't it? They don't want to hear what you have to say, so they're willing to say whatever. They're willing to pretend they're not home. They're willing to sit there and say, well, you have yours and I have mine. But the moment the Bible comes out, everyone gets real uncomfortable. You ever notice that? The Bible comes out, everybody gets real uncomfortable. Why? They don't want to hear. So those ears, they become quite selective. They become quite unwilling to work in the way that they should. That dull of hearing could mean difficult. It also means a heaviness, an unwillingness, kind of a unyieldiness to it. And in many ways, I remember when I would sit there, I was invited to church those few times and just sitting there hearing things, and it was difficult to listen. I didn't want to listen. I didn't think it had anything to do with me just being a child either. I think it was my sin nature, not wanting to listen, not wanting to hear. Me not being able to quite understand it quite yet. But there's that heaviness. Now I want you to pay attention to this. It says, people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they have closed. See, many people, they read through this and they believe that it's God shutting them off from being able to hear. And in many times through Scripture, God does just that. He stops people from comprehending or understanding. He's hardened people's hearts. He's done that. But in this particular case, the people listening to these parables, they close their own eyes. They close their own eyes. God has blinded people in Scripture in the past, but in this case, they shut their own eyes. They don't want to see it. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to see what's going on in the church. Somebody comes in, the Lord saves them, they lay aside all their bad behavior, they get themselves right with the law, they get themselves right with the bank, they get themselves right with a job, they get everything put together, and they got a better attitude, they quit the swearing, they quit the fighting, they're good to their spouse, they're a father to their kids, everything's looking up for them, and the world refuses to see it. Oh, there must be something wrong with him, they say. Wow, I don't know. Let's go talk to his kids. Hey, do you think there's something wrong with your dad? No, there's something right with my dad now. Hey, do you think there's something wrong with mommy? You know, mommy's going to church and no, mommy's nice. Mommy takes care of us now. Hey, these things change. You see people with these rapid changes, these big changes. Now, not all of us go through that. But they don't want to see the people with the big changes. Well, they got religion. They'll calm down. Why should they have to? They're handling their business in a way they never have before. Why should they have to calm down? They got a smile on their face for the first time in 30 some odd years. Why should they calm down? Why not let them have it? They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear you say praise the Lord. They don't want to hear you give credit to God for the hitting the work goal. They don't want to see you have your stuff together. Why? Because the world can't make no money off of somebody who obeys and honors God the way they do somebody who's lost. They can't have you going to church. You stop buying the booze. They can't have you saved. You don't stop by the dispensary anymore. You won't sit there and need the things that they're telling you you need. Because God will supply all your needs. They don't want to see it. Because they lose customers. I tell you what, a revival takes place in a town and only the bars suffer, I'm telling you. Oh, we can't have that. We can't lose the tax money off the dispensaries. We can't lose this. We can't lose. Oh, no, we can't. Yes, we can. We'll be just fine. We'll be just fine. They don't want to see it. They hate the things of God. They don't want to have anything to do with God. And they hate to see businesses that pacify and sedate people suffer. They refuse to see what God is doing. We could sit there and we could go through the book of Revelation and I could point to everything that's taking place. And somebody who doesn't want to see it would only sit and scowl. Whereas most of us can sit there and look at what we see and we go, well, yeah, we're kind of looking at it now, aren't we? The two people, Gog and Magog, that God talks about being big players in the Revelation, they're still here. And they've got money and bombs. We look at the children of Israel who were wiped away from having a state of their own, and all of a sudden they have one. Isn't that weird? Sometimes it seems like the little nation of Israel is at war with the whole world. Or at least the whole world's at war with it. And there they are. There they are. Putting up a fight, I don't know if we could. You know, if we went toe-to-toe with Russia, I'm not sure we would do as good as Israel's doing against all of the Arab states down there. You know, they're just surviving. Oh, well, it's because they're getting all this money. Yeah, they're getting all this money. Their enemies are getting all this money. I know it's a crooked game, but they're standing, and they shouldn't be standing without the power of God. But they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. They want to go on with this whole Queers for Palestine thing, which is the dumbest thing ever. Somebody got up on the news, and they were talking about, they represented the Sodomite group, and they were talking about, oh, the Palestinians would never do this to us. The Palestinians would never do this to us. Let me explain to you again what's going on over there in Palestine. You have the Palestinians who just want the bombing to stop, and then you have Hamas. And they can't hurt Hamas because Hamas will hurt them. So it's kind of like a parasite, but they're feeding it with their people and money. Right? Humanitarian aid that goes to Palestine is going to Hamas. And those people in Hamas, they are Arab. Not the friendly kind, the mean kind. The warmongering kind. The ones that take those passages of war with the infidel very seriously. And they will kill those people. You go, anybody were to go over there and they were to go fly their little rainbow flag in front of Hamas, Hamas will kill them. Despite what the big talking heads who are safe in their cute little apartments are saying, those angry people will slaughter them. There's no freedom over there for that kind. They gotta hide. So no matter what you point out, there will always be people that refuse to see it. And there will always be a bunch of people willing to sell them subscriptions to their news service. As long as you like and follow my stuff, we'll be able to tell them exactly what they want to hear. And sit there and tell them that they're right and good and special and smarter than anybody else. You got to be real careful with anybody who pats you on the back and tells you those words. Got to be real careful. Right? It's almost like they speak to you like a kindergarten teacher. See, you're smarter than your parents. You're smarter than the other generations. You know stuff inherently. Nobody knows stuff inherently. You all have to be taught. No one was born with intrinsic knowledge. No one's born with... I get that there's some people who have a propensity to be a little bit smarter, but for the most part, most of us can learn just fine. But no, you're special for knowing things. Did you color the... Aww. And that's how you feel like you're being spoken to sometimes. And if you refuse to sit there and pat the wrong behavior on the back like that, you're a monster. What we're doing is we're making merchandise of people. We're taking advantage of their hurt feelings. We're using them. That's exactly what they're doing. And you point that out. No, no. Anybody who tells me I'm right for the random thoughts in my head, they're my best friends. That's not how it goes. We need to have eyes that are willing to see. Eyes that are able to see. See, to their detriment, we see kind of like in this kind of almost a jeering kind of way, the Lord says, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should hear them. Folks don't always want to be saved. They don't. You bring the gospel, get out of my doorstep with that, get out of here. Danielle and I had that happen one time down in Flat Rock. We knocked on a lady's door, was talking to give the gospel. She was a Catholic, one of the angry kind. And just, what are you doing? And just shouted at me. And seemed really surprised when I didn't go nowhere. Not that I was being imposing or trying to get in or trying to continue the conversation, but in her mind, she, and then she opened her eyes and looked at me, and I didn't run. I was still there. Oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. We were just visiting all the neighbors here and just dropping these off and inviting people to church. Please forgive me for interrupting whatever I interrupted. Would you like... And she hollered at me some more. Now, you got to understand at that particular point, I'd been in the customer service industry for a while there, particularly with apartments, getting my head chewed off was kind of like just a regular Tuesday for me. It didn't affect me anymore. Nothing happened to my pulse. You could scream at me all day. And just try to be done with it. Just shake the dust off. Wasn't trying to push the conversation. Wasn't trying to make her uncomfortable. Wasn't trying to be forceful. Just, all right. She did end up taking it. It was the book of John and Romans. In her religion, she's not allowed to read those, so it doesn't matter. But it's ridiculous. They don't want to. They don't want to, and they're angry about it. Get your angry atheists, your angry religionists. And when it comes down to the Word of God being said, being taught the way that it's the way that it's written, they get angry about it. They get angry about it. Why? Because they don't want it. They don't want it. They don't have no real hold or firm belief in what they say they do. They just don't want the truth. Why? Our sin nature. Our sin nature. Now, is that everybody? No. There's a lot of curious people. You're going to run into a lot of curious people. You're going to run into a lot of polite people. But you're also going to run into people who refuse to listen. Because what if they hear what you're saying? And what if they see that it's true? Then they would have to be converted. Then the Lord would have to heal them. And I tell you what, that's one thing the sin nature does not want. It doesn't want to be suppressed. That's why so many of us struggle with our sin natures. Because it doesn't want to be repressed. We don't crucify or mortify it the way that we ought to. So we see these extreme reactions to being told the gospel. Well, that's offensive. You know, I don't know about you, but there's a lot in this world that offends me. Xander got an assignment today. Where'd he go? Xander got an assignment. He has to find a biography written about a famous Christian. You know how hard that is for a Baptist to find? So I go down to the Christian bookstore. I know. Walk in there and I'm already offended. I'm looking at stuff. I ask them, hey, do you have anything like this? And they show me. and I'm looking, and they say, oh, well, we have this person. I go, no. Oh, we got this person. No. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, how about, no, no. And then they got some of these more modern day, what about this one? The first lesbian priestess or whatever. No, 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 no. And they almost start to get offended at me. It's because I don't want to buy what you got. Don't get mad at me. But that's just not Bible. For somebody with a whole stack of them in the back, you sure could use to pick one up every now and then. That's not a God. Kathy Lee Gifford had her biography in the Christian bookstore. Kathy Lee Gifford. Now, I'm not saying anything about her. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. I'm not saying anything about that. But that's not necessarily a take-home, feel-good story, if you know what I mean. I can't find anything about any missionaries in there. Can't find anything about any of the people that helped frame and build the churches the way that they should be. And I don't see a lot of that. I walked through there. I got offended a lot. I got real offended by the stuff that I saw. Didn't try to torch the place. Didn't make it the long-haired fellow behind the counter's problem. Just let it be. When I drive down the road and I see provocative messaging for perverted bars, that offends me. That bothers me. I don't go over and walk into that place and beat the people up about it. I get offended all the time. Listen, we need to handle being offended. And the world, they have a hard time when it comes down to the things of God. You know, you come up with something worldly, maybe somebody will like it, maybe somebody won't. But I tell you what, lost people have a hard time liking the things of God. And I like what the Lord says as we go on. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, for those of us that know Christ, that have walked with Christ, are saved, we get it. We've been taught. We've been saved. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We get it. We get what he's saying there. Right? When it says, crucify the flesh. Where Paul says, I die daily. We look at that. We say, man, I understand that. I get that. When Paul said that the things that I would do, I don't end up doing. And the things I wouldn't do, I do end up doing. And I hate it. Oh, wicked man that I am. I get that. I get that. I understand that. And we sit there and talks about how the love of God, and we talk about a peace that passeth all understanding. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. I get it. I never did before I was saved. I do now. Why? Because you've experienced it. You've seen it. I don't need a parable for that. You know, so many of these things that we're going to look at as we go through the parables, you're going to sit there and say, well, I don't need a parable for that. That's easy enough. That's last week for me. I've been walking like that or doing that or believing that all my life. I get that. I don't need a parable. That's right. You don't need a parable because your ears work and your eyes work. When you do the things God tells you to do, you see what it does. You go, okay. I get it. Relying on the Lord. Seeking Him first. Daily in the Word. Going to Him when I have temptation. Fleeing even the appearance of evil. I get it. I don't need a parable. The Lord told me straight. It was preached to me straight. I get it. I don't need a parable. Remember the flannel graphs? Anybody here Sunday school? Maybe you've never been to a Sunday school with the flannel graphs. What would you do if this Sunday I brought flannel graphs up here for the adult Sunday school class? Would anybody here just feel a little like I've lost it? There'd be a conversation. There'd be two or three conversations for sure if I brought a flannel graph up. Brother, you know we don't need those, right? Particularly now that we're talking about Baptist church polity, I'm scratching my head as to how I would even do that. But you'd feel embarrassed. You'd feel insulted. Why? Because you don't need it. That's what the Lord's trying to explain. It wasn't given to them. It's given to you. Your ears work fine. Your eyes work fine. And that's something we need to be glad for. We need to take advantage of. So that many of you, you've been following the Lord for so long. Now that your ears and eyes have begun to worsen, you still kind of get it. Well, I know where we are. I know what he's going to talk about here. Why? Because your ears did work. And your eyes work and you can see what the Lord's talking about. You know. You know. And the Lord goes on, verse 17, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." I want you to consider all the prophets that prophesied the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the righteous people that believed. They didn't get to see it. David was promised, but he didn't get to see. Isaiah, Jeremiah, so much of the Psalms, Adam, Moses. So many people knew of the coming of the Messiah, but they never got to see it. Well, brother, what's the big deal? They're up in heaven. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, I live now. The Lord's already died on the cross. He's already been born. All those things have already taken place. Those are in my past. And I'm glad to be where I am now. But, man, wouldn't you have wanted to see it? You know what I mean? I wouldn't want to live there. But I like where I'm living now. But wouldn't you have wanted to have sat while he was out in the boat giving these parables? Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Those prophets, yeah, sure, they had their lives and they got to see great things and God showed great things to them and did great things with them, and then they died and they went to heaven and they're in the presence of God. But I'm telling you, it would have been awful nice to have been there, is what the Lord's saying. They would have wished to have been here. They would have wished to see what you're seeing and hear what you're hearing. And he doesn't say it, but I'm sitting here just feeling a little envious myself. Wishing I could hear those words straight out of his mouth. Wishing I could see the miracles. Wishing I could see the changes. I'd be watching that. I'm not much for fish, but when he's feeding those multitudes fish and bread, you know, that would have been just hilarious. I would have enjoyed that all day. I might have even had some. You know, how many did he start off with? Well, yeah, he had two of them, and then there you go. Had five little loaves. Okay, well, crazy. And how much was left over? All about 12 baskets full. Wouldn't that be funny? Who gets to take these home? We struggle with that, by the way. A little PSA from the pastor. Take the food home. We had like some week-old pizza there in the refrigerator. And number one, if I'm doing well on my diet, it's going to rot in the fridge. If I'm not doing good on my diet, I don't need your help. Get it out. Thankfully, I didn't know about it until Brother Art brought it up on Sunday and then brought it up again on Tuesday. We got it out of there. When I say take your food home, I want you to know what I mean. That with the fullness of my heart, I want you and all my love to take your food home. Get it out of here. Nobody, if it's still here, it's going in the trash. But anyway, I would have loved to have seen those things. And I think some of you would have loved to have seen him too. What he's telling them is be grateful. And I'll tell you this today, we need to be grateful for the things that we can see and we can hear, because there's a vast number of people who are surrounded by religion, but they don't get it. There's vast amounts of people that wish they could go to a church with the lights on and a big old bright sign out in the front. Lights in the parking lot we could land a plane to. They would love that. But they don't have that. They'll go to jail for 8 years just for going to church. Could you imagine that? Ask yourself that question. If going to church was illegal and could get you 8 years in jail, what's that sign on the back wall going to say on Sunday? If there was a list with your name on it, we were checking off for your attendance, would it ever see another check? 8 years. 8 years. We've got Christian radio stations we can listen to on our car on our way to a brightly lit church with buildings that are warm and the government knows about and the government's okay with. They're not happy about us, but they're okay with us. Isn't that nice? We ought to enjoy it. There are places where you cannot get a Bible. You can't get a Bible there. They'll beat you for having one. Yeah, you have one. We need to read it like we need to start reading the Bible like it's against the law. We need to start reading the Bible like it's precious to us. Somebody gave me this illustration when I was a teenager, and it stuck with me. If tomorrow you were arrested and you weren't allowed to have a Bible with you, how much scripture would you have in your mind to get by? It's a good question, isn't it? How much do I know of the Bible to keep me comfortable at night? To continue to give me hope to play through in my mind when I can't get to this book? To think of that kind of persecution sounds a little crazy. But so is sitting there with our Bibles, and it's completely allowed and it's perfectly okay, and they do little more than gather dust. And even if we do have issues with our eyes and our ears, we've talked about this recently, we've got ways to play it. Well, what if I lose my sight entirely? Well, we got Braille. That's a lot to have to learn. I guess it just depends on how much the Bible means to you. I'd learn it. I'd learn it if I had to. For us to sit here with no encumbrance, no judgments, right? People might cross their eyes, but you know how many times I've been someplace, either out to eat or grabbing a coffee somewhere or something like that, and I've seen people just sitting out with their Bibles? I bet I could bring some people in other parts of the world over. Come here, come here. See this? There's four of them meeting together talking about the Bible in an open establishment. I see over here, here's two cops taking a break. And they're gonna smile at these people as they walk out the doors they see in church on Sunday. Isn't that crazy to you? And they're gonna cry. But we have all this freedom. We have all this ability to understand. Let us not be guilty of not taking advantage of it. Let us not be guilty of wasting it, but use it to our full potential. Let me be in the Word every day to see and to hear and to understand. Let that Holy Spirit explain to me what it is that I'm reading. Show me new things every day in your Word, Father, is what we ought to be praying. In gratitude. Oh, thank you that I get to see this. Thank you that I get to understand this. Not in spite of the people around you that can't, but in always remembering the time in your life where you couldn't. Remember the time when I had no desire? Remember the time when I could sit here and stare at these pages and it meant nothing to me? Now it's everything. It's my source of calm. It's the only bit of wisdom I've got in this world. I mean, people like me, we're not born with much. We got to take it from the Lord where we get it. Right, there it is. We need to be glad and rejoice and take advantage of our ability to see and to hear. For us, we might not need parables. For us, we might not need to be spoken to as children. So therefore, let us deal as adults. Let us deal as intellectuals. Let us deal in somebody who can be taught. Because that word is beautiful. That word is powerful. If we want that knowledge, we need to hear. We need to pay attention. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for preserving your word. And Lord, seeing fit to let us have it. That Father, the Holy Spirit is here to interpret and to, Lord, teach us. And that, Father, we have a church and we have teachers and preachers in this world that deal in your word and your word only. Lord, I pray that we never be found ungrateful. Lord, let us never be slack. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll have our...